I'm David W. Berner, and this is The Writer Shed. One of those sticky summer mornings in the Chicago area today. We've had a lot of humidity and some rain already this morning. The sun is popping out now, but a few minutes ago you could have easily heard the raindrops on the roof of the shed. It's not a tin roof, but it certainly is the kind of roof that when it rains you can hear it pitter-pattering or splattering or knocking hard on the roof of the shed, but no longer now. Got some sun. You know, it's funny. Why is it that we like to talk about the weather? It seems like one of those subjects that's easy to breach when you're having a conversation, maybe. And it ends up in our writing a lot, too. You know, how they always tell you, don't start with weather, that old adage. Well, there's a lot of great novels that have started with weather. So anyway, the weather on my mind a bit this morning, too. But also the business of books. That's what we turn to today. Our local indie bookstores. We are crawling out of the pandemic now, and bookstores are opening up again, slowly. For many, it's been more than a year of hanging by a thread, but it could have been worse. The industry had feared that hundreds of stores would go out of business during the 2021 holiday season, but there were only about 15 or so closings in 2021 so far in the U.S., along with maybe 70 or so in 2020, you know, that's amazing when you consider what we have been through. A few factors that helped: the PPP loans, of course, that helped with the payrolls, a surprising December, a lot of online sales, the rise of bookshop.org, the online seller that partners with independent bookstores, brought in something like $14 million in revenue. So all of that helped, but still it was a struggle. The pandemic came as indie bookstores were seeing a resurgence too. So how's it going now? What's next? How can we as writers and readers help out? Well, Chicago, not far from where I am now, is one of the great spots for indie bookstores. We have several really good ones. One of the best, though, is The Bookseller in the Lincoln Square neighborhood of the city. Today we have Susie Takas, the owner, with us, who says the store is slowly recovering. And it's rediscovering, really, its footing. But there were times it was very tough, even needing a GoFundMe page to stay alive. Susie is a gem, and it's great to have her here. Well, first of all, Susie, you're the best, and I'm really glad you're here. I love your bookstore. You know I do. I don't live close enough to be there as often as I want to be, but it is not only one of the best bookstores in Chicago, but we know it's one of the best independent bookstores in the country. It gets listed many times. More welcoming than so many bookstores there are these days. And thanks for joining us to talk about this. So first of all, how are you coming out of this? Not just the bookstore, but you have got to have been dealing with so much through the pandemic and everything else.
Yeah. I mean, I feel pretty good there. I think every household has been really affected. So I know I don't corner the market. Like through the last year, my husband lives in Shanghai. So, you know, there was no chance. We weren't allowed to visit. Like they weren't allowing any visas into China because Shanghai didn't have any COVID. So they were trying to keep their bubble safe. So that was one struggle for me. I was really worried about my folks. My dad is pretty fragile health-wise. And my sister lives near them, but my sister works at a Walgreens pharmacy, so she's exposed to a lot of people. So that was really one of my big concerns, were my parents and keeping them healthy.
Were your parents in the Chicago area?
They're in Joliet, yeah.
Oh, sure, okay.
Super far, but...
Yeah, southwest suburbs of Chicago.
And then I guess, of course, the store I was really worried about, and I was delivering... From March, April, and May, I was just delivering books every night. And we shipped a ton of books. But what people buy when they shop online is really different than what is purchased when people come in the store, which is a new phenomena for me. And then you have all this other stuff in the store, like cards and planners and journals, and that people aren't as able to shop as when they're shopping online. So we have to figure out how to pay for all the stuff that you have in your store while selling things that are not in your store.
Yeah. So if I can back up for a second, you say you were doing deliveries. So during the heart of the pandemic, when you weren't, the doors were not open, you were taking delivery or accepting deliveries, correct?
Yeah. Well, yeah, we were receiving boxes. Like I was at the store. So like the UPS person, Raul, would come and bring our boxes, and Vivian would bring our mail, and I was here. I never stopped coming to the store. Like even the day they closed everything down, I just came here because I knew boxes would show up.
And yeah, exactly.
I didn't really know what else to do. So I just came. And then I would answer the phone and people would order things. And a lot of the people that were trying to be supportive and shop here, like live 2 blocks away and didn't want to necessarily have us ship things. So like I would close around between five and six. And then I would like just put all the stuff in my car and just deliver books for like 2 hours.
So you were like the UPS driver at night.
Well, wow. No, I mean, I wasn't hauling big boxes. They were like one book here, one book there. But all over the city, like it really opened my eyes is to the breadth of our customers and where they live and where they're coming from. I was touched, like all of this. Every time I talk about it, I get all my eyes well up. I was speechless, and I just did that. I just tried to keep going. So those are like my three things. Like I lived alone, so I wasn't as worried about myself because I was just kind of, you know, by myself in the store and at home. I was really worried about my folks, and I was worried.
And they're okay. Everybody's okay.
Yeah, they're okay. We just celebrated Father's Day with my dad.
Yeah, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. Really, I think it's pretty amazing that you were, you know, taking orders, packing your car, driving around the city of Chicago, delivering books. That's not only dedication, but that shows the love of what you're doing.
Well, I mean, one, I think most small business owners would say that you just do what you got to do. And then two, like just keeping busy when you ask me, like, how are you? I feel pretty fine, but I think it's just because I'm just busy. I just go from one thing to the next. I don't leave myself time I go day by day, you know, what's on the docket today, what's on the docket tomorrow. And I just, And then I get home and there's my
dog. I think that's how a lot of us, you know, cope sometimes. It's just like, stay busy, right? You hear that a lot. So as far as, were there moments during the most difficult times where you were worried about the place, about the bookseller?
Oh, yes. March and April, like when we did our GoFundMe, it was a super difficult decision to decide to do that.
But you did a GoFundMe page, right?
Prior to doing that, I really just thought, okay, we're going to just have to close. Like, this is not going to work. Because I had probably 12 really large events between like March and the middle of May that I was anticipating that income. And there were, as you know, there were no events for anybody, just virtual. Right. I really didn't know. And then even through the summer, like we opened again in July for browsing. Then we closed again in like October because of the spike of the COVID. And like we were just open with appointments through December because like as a whole, the staff was very concerned about exposure. I was like, I just don't know how we're going to get through a holiday just with appointments. But, you know, I just kept trying, just kept going. We devised this little, and when I say we, the Royal We, it was probably Shania's idea of our contactless pickup. We have a book cart in the entryway and people would just walk in and take their bag and walk out. They didn't even have to like see us or deal with us. Right. And that worked really well.
Yeah, it was like a sandwich shop, you know, right? Because they were many of them were doing the same sort of thing.
Yeah.
You had mentioned that you know, you had all those events. I would suspect they were author events and signings and that sort of stuff, like big names that would have brought in a lot of people, right?
Yeah, most of those large events were offsite. But there really wasn't an option. So everything canceled. And then because nobody really knew what to expect, like you would cancel and then you'd say, well, let's reschedule for June. And then June would come and you'd be like, okay, now we're going to cancel again. So I was just like, we're only going to do virtual events. And still to this day, I just don't really know what the fall brings, and there's rumor of another psych, and I have a very small space. Like it would be super hard to socially distance in the bookseller. The bookseller is not made to social distance. We're made to bring people together.
Yeah. And it's just to help people understand the bookseller. It's a cozy place.
It's made to bring you together.
It's made to sit close. It's made to be right on top of the books. I think it's one of the reasons why I love it so much, because it does have that really wonderful sort of feel that you don't get in a big box kind of store at all. And I think that's what's great. And I think that's probably what people miss so much, not being able to come to a bookstore like yours.
Our book group keeps asking me, when can we meet in the store? And I'm like, guys, there's like 15 people that meet for book group. And furthermore, there's like 8 book groups that used to meet here, 8 or 10. And I can't allow us to meet here and not everyone else. And there's just not enough room to meet here safely. So we're going to meet in Wells Park, actually, in July.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you're not doing any events even right now. You're not doing any events in the store?
Nope.
No, you don't think it's a good idea just yet. I mean, it is a small space. Yeah. How is that affecting you? That it just, I mean, emotionally even.
Well, I would like to have people back in the store. And we're going to move toward that. We'll like slowly increase our, the number of people that we allow browsing, and we'll get back to it, but it's just going to, like, it's hard to have nobody in the store for a long time, and then all of a sudden everyone can be there.
Yeah.
Like you have to get adjusted to the idea, I think.
I think you, and we talked about this before, you and I, that I'm not expecting you to speak for all independent booksellers, but you've got to have spoken with other people who you know that do what you do. And how do you think overall they're faring through this?
Well, I think there's a big spectrum of how stores are faring. And there's a big spectrum of the threshold of what people allow. I'm sure there are stores that allow unlimited people inside. I'm sure there are stores that are not wearing masks any longer. So I think there's a large spectrum of what is happening. I think everybody feels cautiously optimistic. Mm. You know, we're all just doing the best we can. And I guess I haven't really talked. I've talked to some of our reps from some of the publishers, and they've been calling on people. So that's mostly how I get the word. It's like a Pony Express.
Yeah.
Because when you just work, you like get show up in the morning and you spit out at night and you're just running around. But they say that everybody's, you know, starting to feel a little more secure.
That's good. Do you think though, you know, there was that sort of ride going that the independent bookstores were, this is pre-pandemic now, where they were, there was a ride where it was starting to grow and people were saying, you know what, those really are good. We've got to support those even better. And there was a real nice little rise going in the industry. And then the pandemic hit.
Right.
Obviously that put a slowdown. Do you think that train can be, you know, can run to the station again, that you can, we can get going in that direction again?
Oh, sure. I believe that. I think this has given people an opportunity to see what's important to them. Like, people have learned you have to shop or buy food from or carry out from the restaurant or buy a drink to go. Like, the places that you wanted to be there at the other end, you had to support them along the way. So I think that's definitely the message that we're getting.
I think also people have,
and myself personally, you know,
sure,
I want that place to be there, then I need to shop there. So
yeah, I think people believe that or understand that sort of thing a lot more than they ever have. Plus, I also think that people realize what they missed, like what was important to them. It's like it solidified, the pandemic sort of solidified to us what was important. Mm-hmm. And if they missed their independent bookstore, if they missed going to the bookstore and browsing and hanging out and reading, that really struck them. You know, I don't know what it did for me. I mean, I'm the kind of person who any time I go into, I kind of find out where the bookstore is first. And kind of hang out there for a little bit. I want to see what the bookstore is like, right? So I think when you couldn't do that, people were like, oh, I didn't realize how much that meant to me. Like, you knew it intuitively, but then it really hit you during the pandemic.
I'm hoping that's the case. And I'm hoping that when we are back open and our cafes open and we're hosting events again, that people really come to all the event, you know, that everything's well attended. Because they were unable to do that for a while. And then now it'll be a real treat. Mm-hmm. Have it back.
Overall, I mean, even if the pandemic had not occurred, what do you think, at least maybe from your perspective, just your store, do you feel confident about independent bookstores going forward here? Do you feel good that you know, the Amazon of the world is not going to eat everybody up and spit them out?
I do, but I think, like, in all honesty, I do feel that there is a place in this world for independent business, independent, whether it be an independent bookstore or a toy store, or, you know, on my little stretch of Lincoln, we have the cooking school and the spice shop and the Mertz Apothecary. Like, I feel like these are all, like, important to our community, but Amazon is the problem. It is the problem, the convenience, the speed. You know, I think that's the biggest problem that businesses have. I would say even big businesses, like if you go to a store, it seems to me that there are far less items inside the store. Everyone just expects people to order online.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think Amazon has started that and spurred it and fostered it and made it easy. And I think they are the real challenge for business.
And do you, I mean, obviously you have, I mean, it's, and I think a lot of other independent bookstores have done this too. They've created an online presence because they have to, right? Because that's what people do now. They just almost expect it. And if you don't have one, they question whether you're a real business. I mean, isn't that true?
True story. Even when I opened, ever since I opened, we had a website, and our e-commerce on our website is a little clunky. Like, it's not the best. I totally know. And we're in the process of getting a much better system. However, you know, even back in 2004, a lot of the businesses on the street didn't have a website. I remember the person from the Chamber of Commerce saying, "Susie, I think it's great that you have one already." And I'm like, well, I think people are going to expect it. And we do. Yeah,
smart. You're right. Yeah. It's just expected now. It's just part of what you do, what anybody does as a business now, right?
Yes.
And with that said, do you think from your perspective that, you know, independent bookstores of the world and Amazon can play nice? I mean, you know what I mean? Can they both exist?
I don't know if Amazon can play nice. I don't think Amazon plays nice. We can both exist. I plan on existing. I mean, that's my plan.
Yeah.
I don't plan on going away. But I think I think it's going to take a government mandate for Amazon to play nice.
Yeah, and there are some people in the government who are working on that. You may have heard the news, probably when this airs, it might be a week or so old, but the news that, you know, they're trying to show that the warehouses at Amazon have are monopoly. Mm-hmm. They have that so many warehouses, and they have something like 41 cents of every dollar spent online goes to Amazon. 41 cents.
Wow.
That's insane.
That's insane.
Yeah, that is really, and that just shows you the kind of power. You know, I mean, I understand that, you know, a free market is a free market, but when somebody has that much power, it messes with the balance, you know? It just doesn't feel right. And, you know, I mean, I've used Amazon. I have. I'll be honest. I mean, it's hard not to when you have
convenience. I think everybody had.
Especially during the pandemic.
I don't watch the programs on television that are Amazon programs. I had a divorce Whole Foods when Amazon bought them. You know, like I really try. If I have purchased something from Amazon, it was like I had no idea that's where it was coming from.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I can understand that.
We're going to have to find a way to coexist or to level the playing field. Somehow we have to level the playing field, like what I'm doing and what they're doing.
Sure.
Across the board with publishers or authors or customers, somehow that has to balance, because otherwise they will be your only option and they will dictate what your options are. Like what you find in my store may not be what they have on Amazon.
Right. And they'll be able to dictate price and everything too, because they'll be the only game in town.
Right.
Yeah. So how does a bookstore fight the idea that some people believe independent bookstores have become, or is sort of like, you know, the car lot where you go in and you look at the cars and then you go buy the car somewhere else. You know what I mean? You experience that, right?
Every day. Yeah.
Yeah. So how do
our recommends cars and then go buy it somewhere else?
Yeah, exactly. So how do you fight that? How does that work?
That's a good question. You know, initially people would like post little sayings, like if you saw it here or found it here or learned of it here, you should buy it here. Mm. But I think that's pretty easy to ignore. I don't know how to fight that.
Yeah, I always found that very difficult. I think the one thing that you guys do very, very well is that you have people in the store who work in the store who really know authors and books. You're not going to get that from Amazon. You're going to get a bunch of, you know, reviews, but you have no idea who these people are or whether they really even have read the book, right? So, but when you come into a store like yours, come into the bookseller, you know, you can say, hey, have you read this? Oh, yeah, you're going to love it. Do you like this? Well, then you're going to love that. You know, that kind of thing. And you're going to get that knowledge and that understanding. That's the kind of thing that you can't get on Amazon. That's not going to happen.
We are authentic with our love of books and our commitment to books and authors and reading them. Or even if, you know, it's impossible to read this whole store full of books, but being committed to learning about different titles and when they're coming out and celebrating that. And paying attention, and that's true. We are truly genuine with that, trying to get a good book into everybody's hands.
Yeah. I mean, for Amazon, and I don't want to, you know, constantly bash Amazon, but for Amazon, you know, books are just one of the things they sell.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, so they don't have a vested interest in every little thing about the book.
No.
But independent bookstores do. They have a love and authenticity the roots run deep, you know? And I think that's what you're not going to get from the big box online stores. It's not going to happen. You know, the only way you get that is independent bookstores. There's no other way you get that.
I think initially that's why Amazon was so inspired to go after the book buying population, because those people are you know, loyal customers, committed customers. And they're like, if we can get the book buying population, then they'll buy everything from us. Mm-hmm. So that's, I think, how it all kind of snowballed. It's like the lost leader. They may lose money on the books that they sell, but then the next thing you know, someone's buying a flat panel television or a dishwasher or a pair of shoes or something else, right, in which they are making money. So,
right. Yeah. So what's next for the bookseller? What do you see? Let's put it this way. What do you see in the next 3 months, and what do you see in a year?
So the next, in 3 months, actually starting today, our sidewalk cafe is going back up. So people will be able to hang out. At least there'll be a place to hang out outside. So I'm really excited about that. We didn't have it up last year because it was just so much uncertainty. But this year it's going up. And we have a little sit-in sign on Saturday with Tracy Clark and Lori Rader Day. So that should be great. The next 3 months, we are going to work toward just increasing the number of people in the store. We're going to continue with our virtual events. And then in a year from now, I would like to say our cafe will be back open. We'll be back to in-store events. I think definitely a year from now, I would like to see business as usual.
Yeah. I hope so too. And I have to say, you know, the one thing independent bookstores do very well, and you guys are the best in Chicago for this, is just supporting the local authors so well. You certainly have done that for me, but for a lot of people. And I think it's really, that's not really important for us, but it's important for independent bookstores all over to be supportive of authors who are local, who can sort of support them too in a way. Right. And it goes hand in hand. So exactly. I really appreciate that. I mean, obviously from a personal standpoint.
Yeah, we're always happy to do it. We have met a lot of writers and friends along the way in that regard. So that's part of the fun.
Yeah, it is. Well, I thank you so much for being part of this. And that I wish the bookstore the best, the bookseller the best all the time. I can't be there as much as I'd like to be, not only because of the pandemic, but because I don't live as close as I would like to get there as often as I would like. But it is, if you ever come to Chicago, to me, one of the best bookstores, if not the best bookstore to visit, is the bookseller. No question. Just because of the feel and the knowledge and the authenticity of the place. The people who work there will pick out books that are not necessarily the most popular book at the time. And right, they'll say, this is really good. You need to read this, which I love, because you can get caught up in that bestseller list. Bestseller list doesn't mean the best book sometimes. It just means the bestseller.
The little gems. Like, there's a lot of little gems out there that it's great.
Yeah, I think you guys do that well. I wish you the best, Susie, so much. Thanks for being part of the podcast today, too. And support your independent bookstore.
Well, thanks for including me. It was a pleasure to be here again with you and have a good conversation.
This has been another episode of The Writer Shed. I'm David W. Berner. Our music is from iRay Music. Production and interviews always produced inside the shed. You can find out more about Writer Shed Press at writershedpress.com. Submit your work there too. And The Writer Shed on Medium. You can also sign up there for our newsletter and find us at Writer Shed Press on Twitter. The Writer Shed is available wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.